Welcome back. Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr here at Trade Talk. All our reports brought to you by ESN, Environmentally Smart Nitrogen. Well, the new guy at American Sugar Alliance is a guy that's been around Washington, D.C. for quite a while. Rob Johansson. Good to see you, Rob.
Hey, Mick. Good to be here.
Yeah. Usually sitting in a big room at USDA with a bunch of farm broadcasters in May or April. So it's nice to stand here face-to-face and visit with you.
Well, it's great to get out of D.C. and to have a chance to get around here in the convention to see all these great folks talking about agriculture, talking about what's going on in the economy, and certainly there's a lot to talk about.
Well, from the economist's perspective, you made the jump from USDA to the American Sugar Alliance. It is a great job.
That's right. Well, you know, the thing I like most about it, which may come as a surprise to folks, is I really like working with farmers. And at USDA in D.C., you meet farmers frequently, but just once. At least now with the Sugar Alliance, I'm able to get out there, develop relationships with guys, go back, check on their operations, see how things are working out for them year after year. I really like getting out again into the field up north to see the sugar beet guys, and also down south to see the sugar cane guys, see what's going on in their operations. And this job really allows me to get out of Washington, not spend as much time behind the desk up there. I miss all those folks back at USDA, certainly, but I'm really having a good time here with the Sugar Alliance.
Great. Now, as the economy ebbs and flows, it seems like it's not sometimes in sync, sometimes counter-cyclical with the sugar economy, good and bad years. So is there a way to even things out, do you think?
Well, you know, the way I think about it and looking back at sugar over time, you know, relative to the ebbs and flows that you see with dairy or corn or soybeans, sugar is a lot more stable. That's a nice thing. A lot of producers can count on that, can count on the income they get off of their sugar crop to invest in their operations and also to invest in their, you know, processing facilities, which, you know, as we all know, capital investments in those sugar beet processors or the sugar cane refineries is an expensive thing that the producers need to continually expand their productivity, try and do more with less in order to be able to finance those capital investments. So I guess I would say it is a cyclical ebb and flow when it comes to the revenue streams for agriculture in general. Nice thing about sugar, it's a little bit more stable, and I think that's why you see a lot of producers sticking with it.
Thanks to the U.S. sugar policy, right?
Of course. You know, when we have a great year like we're seeing right now up in your part of the country with a great harvest, we're going to import less sugar. That keeps prices stable. When we have a tough crop like we did in 2019, we import more, again, keeping prices stable. So, again, that the way the sugar policy works is we're able to manage that ebb and flow such that prices stay relatively stable and producers can count on it.
The world sugar price, though, is that independent from what American farmers are getting or U.S. sugar price?
Well, you know, no economist will tell you that markets are independent. They're all related in one way, shape, or form, whether that's, the fuel costs that we're seeing right now in the United States. Those Brazilians are also seeing that, and that's why they're considering whether to put their sugar harvest towards sugar exports or towards ethanol production. So they're all these markets are tied together in one way, shape, or form. So you are seeing right now some strength in the global market. Consumption is exceeding demand or exceeding supply. We've seen a stock drawdown for this year and potentially next year. I think there's a big question mark about ultimately, you know, when you see it swing back and you see, production exceeding consumption again. As we all know, the solution to high prices is high prices. So we'll see more producers getting into sugar production if prices globally stay high, whether that's in Brazil or in India or Thailand, you know, the big sugar producers that are out there exporting to the global market. But right now, prices are, you know, staying relatively high compared to what was expected. Big part of that is recovery from COVID, seeing demand come back, booming demand for all commodities, Transportation costs are way up. You know, that's not just in the U.S., but globally as well. That all pushes prices for most commodities up that are dependent on transportation. So right now, sugar prices are high globally, and we'll see how that evolves over the next year. Most of the futures markets expect prices to stay relatively stable with what they're at right now. That's domestically as well as internationally.
That was my next question. Look into Rob's crystal ball, but it does look good. It not necessarily a given, but it's trending higher.
Well, I'd say it's stable right now just based on the futures markets. Of course, if you talk to any producer, their equation is two things. It's input, you know, what they're getting for their crop, but also what they're spending on their inputs. And we know that input prices are going up, whether that's fuel, seed, fertilizer, machinery, labor, all those are heading up. ERS is documenting that, and we're likely to see that persist into 2022. So what does that mean for the producer? If they're looking at stable prices with rising input costs, that's going to squeeze their margins. That's going to be on everybody's mind next year.
All right, Rob Johansson, the economist now for the American Sugar Lancer. That is your title?
Director of Economics and Policy Analysis.
All right, well, yeah, putting the dollar bills under the microscope. So thank you for the good work you do, and we'll look forward to having you in Grand Forks in March at the International Sugar Beet Institute. Farmers can ask you all kinds of questions.
For sure. I'm looking forward to coming up and visiting. You know, I'm a Minnesota boy, and so my family's still there. I'll come through the cities, drive on up to Grand Forks, and spend as much time as producers want to asking me questions and talking about the economy.
Well, looking forward to March. That means winter's almost over for us. So we've got winter to look forward to for now. So thank you, Rob.
Thanks so much, Mick. Take care.
You bet.